tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hi, everyone. Welcome again to the tennis.com podcast special PowerShare series edition. I'm Ed McGrogan talking with 1989 French Open champion, Tennis Hall of Famer Michael Chang. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So this past weekend was your, I believe, your first events of the PowerShare series this year down south, Tampa and Atlanta. Both of them semifinal, or the first match losses to McEnroe in Tampa, Courier in Atlanta. Just kind of tell me about your play this weekend. It was obviously your first one of the year, if there was a feeling out process or anything. I just kind of wanted your perspective on the tennis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been, back, you know, playing on the PowerShare Series Tour, and, you know, to have the opportunity to play against, you know, Jim and Mac and Andre and Pete, you know, once again, I think, you know, after all of these years, you know, certainly, a treat for me, and I know it's a treat for all of us, and, you know, to be able to do it in front of, you know, some great crowds and some wonderful stadiums, you know, even makes it, you know, more exciting. Yeah, I had actually a really great match with John, actually in Tampa. We played one set, no breaks, and, you know, John was able to get me in the tiebreaker there. But we had some, just a lot of great points, and obviously, you know, the contrast in styles, you know, makes it pretty, pretty fun for the crowd. And, you know, John, I have to say, he's been playing really, really well. You know, that's obviously evidence in his results that he's had. And, you know, the format of one set, for semis, and then you know, the pro set for the finals, you know, definitely, keeps you on your toes. You gotta come out, you know, firing and ready to go. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you get down one break, it's, you know, it's tough to claw your way back. So,
yeah, how was, I see that you mentioned there's no breaks. How was reading his serve? Because that was always, you know, it still is in Madison Square Garden when he was playing. I think players had a lot of trouble still kind of reading his, you know, totally unique delivery and the left-handedness of it all.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, John, well, I think John, his style period is not an easy style to play against. I mean, there's nobody that you can say, yeah, you know, get me someone that hits like John McEnroe so I can train to play against, you know. John is just so unique in his, the way he, you know, the way he hits his shots and, the way he plays the game. Obviously being lefty doesn't make it any easier for us righties as well. And, you know, it's just, it's an unorthodox style that, you know, you really need the talent of John McEnroe in order to be able to play it. You know, so, you know, and obviously being indoor, you know, John's going to play a little bit better indoors without having to, you know, to worry about the elements that, that may make it a little bit more difficult for him to serve.
Right. And how was it going from John to Jim the next night in Atlanta? You know, those are obviously two completely different styles in almost every aspect of their game, you know, even coming down to, I think, more of the baseline play to the net play that some of that John likes to do. But then you go back to, you know, kind of a bruiser like Courier. I know you played him many times in the past. How was that, you know, a couple days ago?
Yeah, I mean, Jim played really, really well, actually in Atlanta. And, you know, Jim and I are pretty close, you know, obviously in our records. I think, overall professionally, on tour, I think we're 12-12. And, you know, even last year, I think we played, I think four times, and, I think I beat him three times and lost him once. And, you know, so it really just kind of comes down to who's better, able to execute that particular day. And, you know, he was definitely striking the ball, you know, really, really well, that particular day. And, you know, was able to come out on top. So, you know, hopefully, in the next few events, I'll be able to return the favors to these two guys.
Yeah, the next few you have, I think they're the last three events of the calendar in Vegas, Denver, Anaheim. how are you preparing, I guess, for these events? Do you have any other tennis really on your schedule? I'm not sure if you're, you know, still hitting a lot with, you know, whomever. I guess what's really your preparation for the tennis you have coming up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, besides doing my, you know, off-court, you know, physical stuff, I am actually hitting with a fair amount of guys that are playing at the Futures and Challenger level. You know, here in Orange County, we've got a handful of guys that are out there just starting to make their way out on tour and starting to make their name for themselves. And, you know, so for me to have the opportunity to practice with them as well as some of the, you know, college players in this area, you know, so I'm getting plenty of practice.
Getting the workout, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been good. The only tricky thing about the next couple of events, being in Vegas and Denver is the altitude that we'll have to deal with. So, you know, we'll have to make some pretty quick adjustments, you know, with the ball obviously gonna fly, probably a little bit faster and, you know, just gonna fly a little bit overall. So, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, all three of those stops, especially Anaheim, will be a lot of fun. You know, Anaheim is really in my backyard. You know, got a lot of friends and family coming out. So, you know, of all of the events that, you know, that I'd like to do well, that's probably the biggest one.
I'll ask you a question that you, I'm sure, will be asked there at these events by any media that's there. It's kind of the, you know, it's a question really of all of men's tennis this year. I think, you know, cases can be made, I think, for that sort of unspoken player of the year, perhaps, with, you know, the Grand Slam titles distributed pretty equally, and you had Murray making breakthrough at Wimbledon the Olympics and the U.S. Open. If Roger, who got back to number one, adds to his Grand Slam total at 17, and then Djokovic, who finished the year number one again, and, you know, really definitely is still, I think, consistently seemed to be the top guy from start to finish. Of those three, or, you know, I suppose Rafa as well, who did you think actually had the best year on the men's tour in 2012?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that's a very, very difficult question to answer. I think you could probably take Rafa out of that equation. You know, obviously, you know, him just being injured for such a huge part of the year, you know, it's just unfortunate for him. So, you know, but between the other three guys, I mean, you know, like you said, a case could be made for each one of them. And, you know, especially, you know, Murray, you know, winning the Olympics and the U.S. Open, and, you know, beating Federer and Djokovic in both of those finals is certainly not an easy task. And then, you know, obviously now in the finals of the World Championships, you've got Federer and Djokovic battling it out. So, you know, I think it's really a tough call. It may be just one of those years where you say, hey, we've got a couple guys, or we've got, you know, a few guys that are really players of the year. I don't know if they could possibly do that, but, you know, then you have to start looking at maybe some of the other results and some of the other smaller tournaments. But, you know, everybody knows to some degree that, you know, the bigger ones are the ones that, you know, most people are well aware of. And, you know, like you said, it's, you know, maybe.
Yeah, it's a good problem for them to have.
It is a very good problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, again, thanks for doing this. And like I said, we'll look forward to seeing you out west for the final three events of the year, the PowerShare Series. So thanks again for taking us.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.